They'd seen bits and pieces of huge beasts washed up and battered against the rocks, but truly not a one of them could have named or described the monsters whose skins had become their own cloaks and boots. There were no mammals in their world bigger than the few remaining tiny goats, and even the lizards that had pulled the sleds had been a revelation to them. They'd never seen a building or a machine that hadn't been relegated to parts and blades. So how could they possibly know what they were looking at? As for Brendel, perhaps he had some idea, but no one could ever tell what he was thinking, and he certainly offered no hints.
"We'll skirt around it. Keep your weapons ready," Phasma said.
Not that she had to tell them to do so. Her warriors were well trained. She'd made sure of it.
"You okay?"
Torben asked, and Siv glared at him.
"Of course. Don't doubt me."
They crept down the dune and into the great, flat valley. Everyone was twitchy, weapons in hand, scanning for signs of life, for more lizards and attackers, or for the big, bulky thing to do anything but just sit there, throwing an equally big and bulky shadow onto the sand. It didn't act like an animal, though. Didn't shake or snort or blink great yellow eyes at the trespassers. There was something uncomfortably alien about it, about the way it didn't seem to care or even notice them there. They drew even with it, then moved around it, and Siv went pallid and white-eyed when she told me about it. The words don't take long to say, but the actual journey went on for hours. Hours approaching the thing, hours moving around it, hours getting past it. All the time it did nothing but shiver to itself, for no reason they could discern. I remember this part of the story because for all the violence she described in our time together, Siv looked the most haunted when she said that bit. After they were around the thing, Brendel stopped. Everyone else stopped and stared at him. No one felt safe. They were in the middle of the open, near something disconcerting they couldn't explain, and every nerve in their well-tuned bodies told them to get the hell away. But Brendel stopped, because that was his way, wasn't it? Brendel was curious, and Brendel needed answers.
"Give me your blaster,"
he said to his nearest trooper. Once he had the blaster, he took aim and fired at the heaving black mound. And it exploded. The black skin they'd been watching shift and quiver was a huge flock of birds, or bats, or some mixture of the two. Whatever they were black and small and fast and sharp, and they burst away and into a cloud that moved as one, screeching like death. The glimmers underneath the black proved to be more of the golden beetles, and when they too shifted aside, the true form of the lumpy thing was revealed. It was a monster. A dead thing being torn apart by the scavengers. Something like the lizards they'd seen earlier, but bigger and with great ridges and spines up and down its sides. There wasn't much left of it, just blankets of the skin hanging off stark bones and a brown hole flapping in the side.
"We don't need the water that bad," Phasma decided.
"Not with that many beetles," Brendel concurred.
"Wait, what's that?"
Gosta asked. The insides of the dead beast rippled, and two bright red lights appeared in the hole in its skin. A growl went up, and a beast slunk out of the carcass, a wet-looking thing like a hairless boar wolf, its skin the same color as the gray sand. It stalked out on long legs that bent backward and was covered with warts and bumps, all splashed with rusty red gore stains from its feasting. Its red eyes were pinned to the group, and it crouched briefly before leaping into a run right for them. Two more of the creatures appeared and followed it, loping in a V formation to attack. True to form, Phasma pulled her spear and her dagger and ran for the first beast, shouting her war cry. Gosta was on her heels, and Siv and Torben followed. Siv's leg muscles ached from so much struggling up and down through sand, but they loosened up on the flat run, and she veered slightly right as Gosta veered left, each of them swinging for one of the foul, glistening creatures. There was a clash of flesh and metal, but Siv's entire being now focused on the wolf thing. Her job was to kill it before it could hurt anyone else. The Skyr folk knew that any wound could go toxic, but the lore said that animal bites and scratches were more likely than most to kill. Unlike the lizard, the skin wolf, as they later named it, didn't go down on the first slice. Its skin was thick and rough, and her sword slash made a cut that seemed to stick itself back together, not even getting down into the meat of the thing. It went for her arm, and she yanked back and slashed at its slender ankles, hoping to hack through thin skin and into tendon or bone. Her scythe hit and skittered off, barely doing any damage, and the creature caught the hem of her robe and shook it, yanking Siv onto her back. She shoved up with her curved blade, but it didn't pierce the wolf's wrinkled neck, and she had to drop her scythes to hold its bulk away as it snapped for her face. A red-hot bolt zipped past her wrist and hit the beast, and it howled and backed away, pawing at what was left of its nose. Another bolt caught it in the ribs, and the creature limped once and dropped to its side, a hole steaming in its wet, gray chest.
Need a hand?
The female trooper held out a glove to Siv, who gladly took it and stood. The other troopers were taking care of the two remaining skin wolves, which had both absorbed numerous cuts but refused to slow down or respond to their injuries. The blasters were brutally efficient, though, and the creatures didn't last long under the assault of laser bolts. Two shots each, and they died. "Did anyone take damage?" Phasma asked. Brendel held up his arm, showing a rent in the cloth that went down to his skin. It wasn't quite bleeding, more like a burn, just a red line against the pale belly of his arm. Phasma exhaled in annoyance.
"We should have put you in Kaa's leathers. Siv, put liniment on it. General Hux, let me know if it gets any worse or if the fever comes. If you're lucky, it won't."
"And if it does?" Brendel asked, face pinched as he inspected the wound. Phasma gave him a grim, determined stare.
"Then you lose your arm at the elbow."
Brendel glared at her like she was a fool.
"But wouldn't that make an even worse wound? Attract even more infection?"
"No."
Siv knelt before him with the ancient metal tin that held the oracle liniment her mother had taught her to make. The liniment formulation was different from the salve, crafted specifically for abrasions and wounds, and including soothing herbs that still grew near the cliffs of the Skyr. When she held out her hand, Brendel paused a moment before offering up his arm.
"The infection comes from the animal or lichen, not from the air. A clean blade makes a clean cut. Fire cauterizes the wound, and the liniment prevents further contagion."
"Are you training in medicine?" Brendel asked her,
looking interested in someone besides Phasma for the first time.
Phasma stepped forward. "This knowledge keeps our people alive. Children learn it as soon as they can speak. Children who don't tell adults about their cuts die by nightfall. Tell him, Gosta."
In a sing-song voice, Gosta chanted,
"If you get the smallest wound, better tell your mama soon. Edges red and skin gone white. Gonna lose a toe tonight. Don't tell mama and you'll see. Wound goes putrid. Dead you'll be."
Brendel shook his head as if to rid his mind of the words.
"How very macabre."
"We don't know that word. But you make it sound like something bad. Like we have a choice to be other than we are. This is our life. This is why my people are strong."
Phasma put a hand on Gosta's shoulder, and the younger girl glowed with pride.
"Even our children can fight for the clan. We grow up knowing exactly how hard life on Parnassus will be, and what is expected of us. We don't mourn the weak."
"Are you saying that the man we lost today, a man you chose and trained, was weak?"
Brendel said it like it was a sort of test, and Phasma stepped toward him, just a little too close.
"Kaa was strong, and I trained him well, but he was unlucky, and now he's gone. Those who survive must move forward."
Brendel smiled as if these words pleased him, but Siv couldn't imagine why.
"If only I had a comm," he mused. "These slogans would do so well in our program.
Your program. Siv had finished applying the liniment, and she pulled down Brendel's sleeve. Brendel inclined his head toward her in mute thanks, stood and began walking, his hands behind his back. After jerking her head at her warriors, Phasma moved to walk by his side. Everyone else hurried in their wake. Siv was glad that she wasn't expected to use the detraxer on the foul dogs. For all that they were tough and strong, they looked diseased and wrong. She secretly worried that their essence might carry whatever pathogen had caused the hideous boils and warts to form on their skin. As Torben took up his sled ropes, he and Siv hurried ahead to hear what Phasma and Brendel were discussing.
"I have a special task in the First Order," Brendel said. "My rank is general, very similar to your rank here among your people. I'm a leader. My greatest responsibility is to design the program that will train up the young warriors, teach them how to fight while helping them understand why we fight. As you can imagine, this involves not only the physical aspects of instruction, which I leave to younger and fitter officers, but also education. We have sayings like the rhyme about wounds, songs and stories and parables that we use to instill our values and beliefs into our fighters from the earliest age. The end result is what you see here before you."
Brendel gestured to his three troopers.
"The finest warriors in the galaxy, trained to follow my orders precisely using a variety of weapons and equipment and while navigating a wide selection of environments. They must know how to think on their feet and act quickly no matter how hostile the situation. It seems like a task for which you, Phasma, might be particularly well qualified."
Phasma snorted, unmoved by his praise.
"You say you raise the finest warriors in the galaxy, but I would test my fighters against yours any day. A life like ours adds a determination, a grit that can't be instilled with clever songs."
Brendel nodded, looking amused.
"I look forward to hearing more of your strategies and how they might be applied in a more, say, controlled environment. Perhaps we will one day sit together and watch your warriors test mine, but under ideal conditions. You would be most impressed, I think, with our training barracks on the Finalizer."
Behind her mask, Phasma's face was inscrutable.
"That would be most instructive," she said, her cool accent and cadence matching Brendel's perfectly.
It sent a chill up Siv's spine. They walked across the flat plain until the sun began to set and the air grew heavy and cold. The world was the same in every direction, endless sand with no place to hide. They would be exposed no matter where they camped for the night.
"We'll rest here," Phasma said, stopping in a place no different from any other place. "The warriors will keep watch in shifts, and we'll rise at dawn. I'll take first watch."
Her warriors nodded in response, and after glancing at Brendel, so did the troopers. Brendel was left out of the guard duties, and Siv wasn't sure if it was because he appeared to have few fighting skills, or because Phasma considered him superior in rank and above such tasks. Back in the Skyre, Keldo had never held guard duties for this same combination of traits. But it wasn't Siv's job to think about the hierarchy. Her job was to heal wounds and distribute the water and salve. Normally, Gosta would have been collecting bits of kindling all day, and as they settled down, she would build a fire. But here, in the sand, there was nothing to collect. Nothing to burn. Although the Skyre was a lonely and forbidding place, Siv had never felt so miserable and exposed in the world. The hard winds caught at her robes, plucked at every edge of cloth, and blew so much sand about that the only way to eat was to slip chunks of jerky and dried sea vegetable underneath her mask. It was a wretched night, and everyone seemed to sleep very lightly, tossing and turning in the sand and waking, startled, half covered in gray, to dust the sand off and try to find a more comfortable position. There was none. The Skyre folk were accustomed to sleeping in their net hammocks, alone or with a trusted companion, but as the temperature dropped and dropped yet again, they moved close together, searching half asleep for some kind of warmth.
Siv was glad enough when Torben woke her for her watch, as sleep had brought little comfort. She spent her watch on high alert, scanning the pitch darkness for any new sensation. There was little light, the stars obscured by swirls of sand, and nothing could penetrate the blackness. The only sound was the high keening of the wind and the soft shuffling of the sand. Everything smelled of minerals and bodies, for the Skyr folk had sweated through their layers during the day and were now drenched with the sour tang of unwashed flesh, sticky with sand. Even through her mask, sand flecked Siv's lips, and when she grew frustrated enough to lick it off, it crunched unpleasantly between her teeth. The Skyr began to seem a friendly place by comparison. Whatever Phasma thought they would gain from Brendel Hux and his ship, Siv could only hope it was worth this suffering. Worth losing Carr. When her hour had passed, she went to wake one of the troopers, as the Skyr folk had all taken their turn at guarding the camp. Her eyes had adjusted to what little light there was, and she scanned the loose group of sleeping bodies and chose the one closest to her, reaching out to gently touch the sleeping soldier's armored shoulder. "It's time," she said, quite low, and a glove landed on her hand and twisted it so that her wrist nearly popped. She knew better than to cry out. "I'm on your side," she whispered. The trooper jerked upright, his mouth going from a snarl to a frown as he released her hand.
"Sorry. Training, you know."
The man's voice was low and rough, not nearly as clipped and proper as Brendel's.
"It's fine," she said. "We're all jumpy."
"I'll take it from here, then."
"Be strong."
When his eyebrows drew down in confusion, she explained,
"That's what we say when switching watch."
"You do this every night?"
"Of course. Both in the home camp and when sitting as sentry."
He shook his head.
"The finalizer's barracks seem more and more cozy the longer I'm here."
She nodded and moved closer to Torben, pillowing her head on the sandy sleeve of her robe. Torben was on his side, and she wiggled toward him until her back touched his arm. He reached out and drew her in close to the warm curl of his body, and they both sighed in relief. For all the horrors of the sands, this embrace was an entirely new experience, so different from bodies tumbling together in a hammock swinging precariously over the sea. Memories of Keldo and Carr flashed through Siv's mind, though it wasn't the way of the Skyr to mourn those who were lost or gone. Dwelling on the past risked everyone's life in the present. But it was lucky she took that moment to pause and put away her sorrow, for in the stillness, she was certain she heard a sound that should not have been there. Siv froze, holding her breath and sending her senses out into the night. Before she could ask the trooper on watch if he'd heard it too, she was blinded by the brightest light she'd ever seen. "Attack!" Siv shouted, going for her sides as she struggled out from under Torben's huge arm.
"General! Troopers!"
the watchman shouted. Everyone came awake at once, leaping to their feet with weapons at the ready. The troopers didn't shoot, though, and the Skyr warriors couldn't see what to attack. As they stood there, waiting, ready to fight, the fight never came. The camp was bathed in the harsh light, and as her eyes adjusted, Siv saw that they weren't facing more skimmers or skinwolves. Not even humans. Her scythes dropped to her sides as she realized she was looking at a stark, white droid. It wasn't like the one Brendel Hux had brought from his ship. This one was spindly and rough, a little shorter than Siv herself. It didn't appear to be carrying any weapons, just a box emitting the blinding light.
"Our prayers have been answered,"
it said in a monotone voice that still somehow managed to express excitement.
"Praise to the creators. I do hope you'll come with me. We've been waiting for you for such a long time."
"General Hux, what do we do?"
Phasma asked. But when they looked to Brendel, he alone still lay on the sand. He was unconscious and unmoving, red with fever, and when Siv looked at his arm, it was too far gone. Even amputation wouldn't help. Brendel Hux was dying.
17. On Parnassos, 10 years ago. I can't help him, Siv said. The fever set in. It's too late.
Oh my,
the droid said.
That does look bad. Fortunately, our station's medbay is well equipped, and we would be pleased to administer the proper antibiotics.
Phasma approached the droid with her axe and spear ready. The stormtroopers flanked her with their blasters. Who are you, and why are you here? Phasma barked. The droid cocked its head at her.
I am TB3 of the Constar Mining Corporation. If your companion is currently dying, perhaps we should continue this discussion as we walk back to the station. It is not far.
Siv checked Brendel's pulse and found it uneven.
We need help, she said. Torben?
The big warrior quickly maneuvered Brendel onto the sled and hefted the packs himself. But Phasma still faced off with the droid.
Do you mean us harm?
Ha ha ha.
The droid's laugh was monotone and strange.
It is against my protocols to harm sentient beings. Indeed, my only wish is to serve you. Praise to the creators. As you can see, I am not equipped with weapons of any sort, nor are my brethren.
Your brethren?
There are 47 droids currently functional at Terp Sigurate Station. I am a protocol droid, programmed to aid the human workforce with languages, statistics, strategies, and basic necessities. Please do follow me.
No one agreed, and yet the droid turned and shuffled away from them, pointing his light out into the desert. Siv stood from helping arrange Brendel and noted that the droid was walking in its own footsteps, a trail that went over the next dune. Phasma knelt beside Brendel, looked at his wound, and hissed through her teeth.
You're right. It's too far gone.
He must be saved,
one of the stormtroopers said.
No matter the cost.
Do you trust this droid?
Phasma asked him. He shrugged.
Looks like I don't have a choice.
Hefting his pack, he followed the droid. The other two stormtroopers fell in behind him. Siv and the Skyr warriors looked to Phasma.
Brendel is our only hope. We don't have a choice either.
Phasma took up her pack and hurried after the troopers, and Torben doggedly followed her, towing Brendel behind him. The droid lit the way. Siv felt as if she were still half asleep, dragging her boots through the sand and gritting her teeth against the nighttime cold. No one spoke, and Siv kept close to Brendel, even though his wound was beyond her meager skills as a healer. Dawn was just beginning to light the sky when the droid stopped before an especially steep dune. His trail had long ago been covered by the shifting sands, but he seemed to know exactly where he was going. Although she didn't see any gender characteristics in his physicality, something about the droid's voice and gait struck her as masculine, and so she thought of TB3 as a him.
Oh, goodness. The winds are so brutal. One moment.
The Skyr warriors shared a look of suspicion as the droid dug around in the dune.
Ah, here it is.
The wall of sand shuddered, and a layer of gray fell away to reveal an unnatural opening. I know what a door is, of course, but Siv had never seen anything like it. She described it as if the world as she knew it had opened up to reveal a strange mechanical heart. Inside, the gray sand met a smooth white floor with matching walls and a ceiling covered in lights.
Welcome to Terp Sigurate Station, the prime mining facility of the Constar Mining Corporation on Parnassus. Please enter so I can shut the door and keep too much sand from blowing in. We can't have the mouse droids getting fussy.
As if on cue, a tiny black droid rolled in from somewhere and started busily sucking up the sand that was beginning to swirl down the clean hallway. Although Phasma usually took the first steps in any engagement, this time she looked to the troopers. Even Phasma was intimidated by entering a building for the first time, when the Nautilus had been the only enclosed space she'd ever known. The troopers walked inside and moved a little farther down the hallway, as if everything was utterly normal, so Phasma followed them, but delicately, as if she expected the floor to collapse underneath her worn boots. Once she had crossed the threshold, she motioned for her people to join her, and Siv stepped onto the smooth floor, trailed by Gosta and Torben pulling Brendel behind him. As soon as they were all inside, the droid pushed a button, and the door slid closed. In that moment, a great sense of terror washed over Siv. She was enclosed, utterly unable to see the sky. Even in the Nautilus, they had a skylight. But here, everything was unnatural and nothing familiar. She wanted to hunch down on the ground, and she felt as if the building might fall on her at any moment and crush her. Judging by Torben's unsmiling face and Gosta's shifting eyes, Siv wasn't alone.
"This way to the medbay,"
TB3 said, leading them down the hall. They followed, and Siv marveled at the things she saw in the station. There were windows in the walls, covered with clear panes, to show wonders of the past world that Siv had never witnessed in their entirety. She was a little familiar with antiquities, but she'd never seen an intact table and chairs, much less a computer bank or collection of factory machines. In some rooms, droids stopped to watch them go by, and Siv felt strange to be stared at by machines with eyes. The hallway twisted and turned, and sometimes TV3 would push another button to open a new door. Eventually, he led them into an open room filled with machinery. Three droids waited beside a metal platform, all bulkier than TB3.
"Please place the patient on the bed,"
one said, holding out an arm.
"Praise to the creators."
Torben looked to the troopers, and one of them gave him a nod. The big warrior took Brendel in his arms like a baby and carefully laid him on the bed, arranging his arms and legs so that his body was contained. Stepping back beside Siv, Torben murmured,
"I've never felt a fever so hot. He's as good as gone."
The droids immediately began performing actions that Siv didn't understand, scanning Brendel and injecting him with fluids.
"Now that your companion is being treated, please come with me to discuss payment options,"
TB3 said. One of the stormtroopers groaned, but Siv didn't yet understand what was happening. "I should stay with him," she said.
"One of us should,"
the female trooper shot back. TB3 held out his arms to herd them out of the room.
"Please allow the medroids to perform their function. Your companion has a 72% chance of survival at the moment, but any stress or unfamiliar pathogens could lower his odds. We'll be just down the hall."
The droid led them into a room dominated by a long table with several chairs.
"Please have a seat, and I will return with the data work. Perhaps you would like some refreshments?"
"This is confusing," Torben said. "Can I kill it?"
Before Phasma could answer, TB3 hurried from the room, closing the door behind him.
"Droids,"
one of the troopers muttered.
"They can get strange if they're not properly calibrated. This one seems a bit eccentric." "And why haven't we seen any people?"
another trooper said.
"Something's wrong here."
The door slid open to reveal another droid. This one squat and rolling, carrying a tray loaded with drinks and food. Siv and the Skyer folk hesitated, but the troopers took off their helmets and began eating and drinking. Phasma took a tentative sip of a drink, and Siv was glad enough to follow her leader's example. The water was plentiful and cool, and the food was strange, smooth and sweet, and she wanted to go on eating it forever.
"Are we sure this is safe?" Phasma asked, holding up a piece of foodstuff.
"Look at it this way,"
a trooper said.
"If these droids wanted us dead, they could have killed us in the desert. They could have gassed us in this compound. Maybe TB3 doesn't have weapons, but there are more of them here than there are of us. Whoever's running this place must want us alive, or else we wouldn't be."
And then he went back to eating. When the food was gone, TB3 reappeared, carrying a working data pad. He stood at the head of the table and pointed out numbers that flashed on the lit screen.
"Constar Mining Corporation is pleased to report that your companion is alive, and his infection is under control. Our protocol suggests he remain here, resting and under care in the medbay for at least 2 days.
How would you care to reimburse the Constar Mining Corporation for this medical care?
Reimburse? Phasma asked.
He wants creds,
a trooper said.
Payment. Nothing is free.
Correct. Here is the bill.
TB3 slid the datapad to the trooper, and Phasma stood to look over his shoulder. From where she sat, Siv could only see endless lists of symbols that made no sense. The trooper barked a laugh and carelessly tossed the datapad back.
We don't have creds. Maybe you could send a bill to the First Order, but we're just soldiers, not accountants.
The droid's head drooped as if he were disappointed to hear this.
Unfortunately, we are temporarily unable to transmit data off-planet. If your companion wishes to leave, either the bill must be paid, or your group can accept positions with Constar Mining Corporation as laborers. With a 60-day plan, you can work off this debt while enjoying comfortable accommodations and employee benefits. Praise to the creators.
What does this mean? Phasma asked the trooper beside her.
To be blunt, either we take jobs to pay them off or Brendel dies.
But we don't have 60 days. We must get to the ship. The trooper looked up at TB3.
Can we have a few moments?
The droid inclined his head and said,
Of course. I will return shortly.
Before disappearing out the door and closing it behind him. Can we fight our way out? Phasma asked, and the trooper motioned her close.
Keep it down. They might have listening devices. As it is, we don't know who's running this place or where the main control room is, so chances are we wouldn't be able to get Brendel and escape before they took action against us.
Phasma considered it. So we need Brendel whole, and we need to know more. We should accept these positions, gather the information we need, and escape. The trooper shrugged.
It's our only option, really. But there are advantages. They might have vehicles we could use to get to the ship faster. And the General will know what to do when he's awake again. He's a master tactician.
TB3 had left the datapad on the table, and Phasma pulled it over and experimented with it, dragging her finger here and pressing there. Her eyes took on a gleam of fascination, and Siv realized she'd never seen Phasma this interested in anything. Phasma looked at everything as a tool, but she looked at the datapad almost as if it were holy.
Show me how this works, she said, and the trooper took it and started pressing buttons.
The droid returned and fussily reclaimed the datapad.
Have you made your decision?
We'll accept your offer, Phasma said.
The stormtroopers looked at one another, but no one spoke against her.
Praise to the creators. We are all so very pleased. Let us begin immediately.
The droid took their fingerprints and said many things that Siv didn't understand. And then he announced them to be Constar Mining Corporation employees.
And now it's time for a brief orientation disc.
The lights went down, but not so much that Siv panicked, and a brightly lit moving picture appeared on the smooth white wall, along with the patter of a cheerful woman's voice.
Welcome to Constar Mining Corporation. We're glad you've decided to join us on beautiful Parnassos, where you'll be part of a unique community of pioneers on this exclusive planet.
The image panned out from a large white box, making Siv dizzy, and the box grew tiny, surrounded by mountains and green and then oceans of crystal blue.
Parnassos is rich with metals and minerals, and we've specially designed your habitat to bring familiar comfort to your species.
The image zoomed back in and moved inside the flat thing, the scene changing so quickly that Siv felt her stomach swoop. She recognized the hallway that had led into this very room.
You'll be living in Terpsichore Station, situated in a rich valley replete with nature's bounty. It's just a short tram ride to the Siren Sea for a day at the beach.
The image showed something shiny and silver, zipping along two tracks cutting through the green. Then a man, a woman, and two children stepped out and waved their arms. The image changed, and the family smiled by the ocean. But it wasn't the dark, forbidding, cold ocean that lapped at the rock walls of the Skyre and teemed with hungry beasts. This water was light blue,
and welcoming with a sandy bottom, and the children ran willingly into it, splashing around and laughing.
This is insane, Siv muttered to Phasma.
This is what Parnassos might have been over 100 years ago.
Phasma snorted, watching the always smiling people on the green lawn throw a red ball for a four-legged animal with a floppy tongue to chase.
Our ancestors were strange. Strange and soft.
The images and booming voice went on and on. Siv learned that the flat thing was a building, and the zipping silver thing was a tram. She saw labs, factories, mines, and endless rows of tidy homes with every sort of peculiar comfort provided by machines that were now just bundles of rust stowed in the Nautilus. She learned that there had once been dozens of separate communities on Parnassos, each with its own station and purpose. And she discovered that once, long ago, this sandy desert had been a fertile green valley full of plants, animals, and eerily happy human beings, all brought to the lush planet to work for Konstar.
And so we welcome you to Terpsichore Station, where your today protects our tomorrow. We're certain you'll be very happy here.
The screen went white, and the light blinked out, leaving them in momentary darkness.
Do you think,
Gosta said, sounding awed,
that maybe the Skyre was named for the Siren Sea?
And why do they keep saying praise to the creators? Do they really love whoever made them?
Torben asked. A trooper shook his head.
I told you, droids get strange when they're not kept properly.
It doesn't matter, Phasma said firmly. The past is dead, and the droids aren't our business. Our only aim is to get out of here and finish the mission before someone else can.
The lights came back up, and a new droid strode into view. While TB-3 looked harmless, meek, and subservient, this new droid reminded Siv of a tool, of something blunt made only to do work.
Hello and welcome to Konstar Mining Corporation. Praise to the creators. I am D-473 and I will assign your tasks. Normally you would be given a barrage of tests to assign you to the correct position for your abilities, but time is of the essence and quotas are overdue, so you will all be working in the mine. I do hope you find this acceptable.
We're not miners,
one of the troopers barked.
We demand to speak to a supervisor.
D-473 clasped his metal hands, his head cocked in an apologetic sort of way.
I'm so sorry, worker, but we are very short-handed right now. The supervisor is currently unavailable. It is hoped that reinforcements from the main office will be sent shortly, praise to the creators. Konstar Mining Corporation regrets this inconvenience. Now please enjoy this mining orientation disc. Praise to the creators.
The droid exited. The room went dark again, and a new image appeared on the screen. Instead of pretty pictures of the past, this disc informed Siv of how mining was performed and what tasks would be required of them. She learned about proper safety procedures, what to do in case of a cave-in, and to always wear a hard hat and carry her Konstar data pad, which would warn her of gas leaks and let her know when rest breaks were allowed. The people on the white wall smiled as they did their work, in long tunnels that resembled the Nautilus but didn't contain the paintings done in blood, or the collections of carvings and ritual objects.
They're going to use us to do this work?
Gosta asked.
Only until Brendel is better, Phasma answered. And then we shall see.
The door opened, but instead of a droid, they heard only a voice, the same calm female from the disc.
Please follow the red line to the barracks for outfitting. Praise to the creators.
On the wall, a red line appeared, snaking away and disappearing down a curve. Phasma went first, and Siv realized that with Brendel out of the picture, the troopers had calmly accepted her leadership. They walked at the pace Phasma set, slowing to look at each new opening in the wall. Siv knew Phasma well enough to know that she was gathering knowledge to inform her future choices, trying to learn everything she could about this new environment. The red line terminated in an open door. The room within lit that same cold light, so different from the sun outside. Racks of hanging cloth stood along the walls. Another droid waited there, silent and still until they'd all entered the room.
"I am D-477,"
it said in a softer woman's voice.
"I will fit you for your uniforms, praise to the creators. Please step up one at a time."
All eyes went to Phasma.
"Why?" she asked.
"All ComStar Mining Corporation employees are required to wear the appropriate uniform,"
the droid replied calmly. "And if we refuse?" Phasma asked. The droid's head canted toward her in a way that reminded Siv of a predatory insect known for biting the head off its mate after laying eggs.
"You will show respect for the creators and follow orders, or your terms of servitude will lengthen accordingly."
Phasma stood firm. "I did not agree to this foolishness, and will perform my duties as I am." The droid's head sparked, and Siv drew back.
"Does not compute, praise to the creators. All employees will follow orders, and all droids will follow creator protocol."
The group tensed until the droid stopped sparking and regained its calm. It straightened its head and reached into the rack, withdrawing a folded cloth hanging from a twisted bit of metal wire.
"This should fit,"
it said, holding it out to Phasma. She took it, but did nothing further.
"Please do try it on,"
the droid said, polite again.
"We want you to be comfortable, praise to the creators."
Phasma nodded at the droid, but as it began to turn back to the rack, she yanked the cloth off the wire and whipped it around the droid's head to cover its facial sensors. Placing a boot in its chest, she kicked it over backward. It fell to the ground with a heavy clank, and in a heartbeat, Phasma was straddling its torso, jamming the metal wire into its eye hole. One of the troopers fell to his knees by her side, scrabbling for a panel on the droid's chest and digging his fingers in, trying to pry it open. The droid's hands flailed and reached for its assailants, but it was clearly unaccustomed to combat. The other two troopers each sat on an arm, and Torben restrained the droid's legs as the first trooper got the panel open and began yanking out wires by the fistful.
"Required! Required! Praise! Praise! Does not!"
the droid screamed. The lights clicked off, a klaxon began to ring, and something wet fell from overhead. Siv turned her face up to the ceiling, amazed by the concept of falling liquid, like the harmless rain she remembered from her childhood. But it wasn't water. She breathed in the foul, unnatural odor, and everything went black. On Parnassos, 10 years ago. Siv woke up on her back, staring at the white ceiling. When she sat up, she was dizzy, and her companions were likewise half asleep around her. Tiny black droids scooted among them, drying the floor, but Siv was still wet. TB-3 stood over them, fidgeting.
"I did warn you. You're employees now, and you cannot shirk your contractual obligations, praise to the creators."
Still muddled, Siv asked,
"Why do you keep saying that? Praise to the creators."
TB-3 proudly tapped a badge on his shining white chest. He'd been polished since bringing them to the station, all evidence of the gray sand buffed away.
"The ComStar Mining Corporation landed here 186 years ago. We were built and activated on Parnassos by our creators, who designed us to perfectly perform our duties. Once the facility was under proper management and the human personnel had arrived, the creators left. Time passed, and we experienced temporary signal interference. We can no longer communicate with the creators or the other stations. Our human contingent, well, we have been waiting ever since. For the creators, we are very pleased you've arrived."
"But we're not,"
Phasma interrupted her.
"We're happy to be here."
"Very good. I hope you will consider bathing and dressing in your uniforms now.
Poor D-477 was quite disturbed by your insubordination. You will need to eat before your shift, and punctuality is important.
Siv looked to Phasma, and Phasma just shook her head.
We're happy to comply.
TB3 led them to a room filled with spraying water and requested they disrobe and bathe. Siv was loath to trust the droid with her weapons, and the troopers were likewise adamant about their armor, but TB3 showed them lockers in which to store their belongings. When Phasma didn't argue and placed her axe and spear in the metal box, Siv had little choice but to follow. It was strange to be without her scythes, and she was dumbfounded by the feeling of bathing, nude, with Constar soap. A warm wind machine dried them, and a new version of D-477 gave her strange, light clothes with a Constar badge on the chest, just like the one TB3 wore with pride. They were instructed to follow the yellow line to the cafeteria, where they were served identical foods on identical plastic trays. Following Phasma's lead, Siv ate the food, which all had the same texture, but vastly different flavors and colors. The drink, served from a pouch, had the tang of minerals about it. Once the food was gone, she stood with her friends, now co-workers, to empty her tray and follow the blue line to the turbo lift, which took them down into the mine. When Siv told me this story, she was still astounded by how different the station was from the Skyr. Everything was clean and sharp and cool, with smooth walls and perfect corners and cold lights that sometimes flickered but never went out. She had to learn words she'd never heard before, understand how to perform the repetitive work demanded of her. After a few hours, it was as if her hands had been made to hold the handle and push the cart. She wore her hard hat and goggles and did everything she was asked to do, a team of helpful droids instructing and overseeing her. At each new task, everyone looked to Phasma. Instead of a mask, claws, and weapons, Phasma wore her crisp uniform, and although she didn't smile, she watched everything that happened, her bright blue eyes darting to every control pad and console they passed. Secretive looks passed among them all. They were biding time, and they knew it. Siv's hands were blistered by the time a blinking green light announced the end of their shift. She put down her jackhammer and pushed her cart to the turbo lift, where she stood quietly between Phasma and Torben. They followed the green line to the barracks, where they changed into their sleeping clothes and slipped into their assigned bunks. It was the most comfortable place Siv had ever been, with plenty of room to stretch out completely and turn in any direction she desired without feeling the warning creak of a net or the grainy slither of sand. But she wasn't sleepy. None of them were. They were just waiting until the door closed, leaving them alone in darkness and silence.
"This is crazy," one of the troopers said.
It was the one Brendel had shouted at, PT something. After that outburst, the troopers had kept their distance from the Skyr folk, but with Brendel gone, perhaps he felt it was safe to speak. Out of his helmet and armor, he seemed so much smaller and like any other man, not a stranger from beyond the stars.
"We need to play along until we can get Brendel," Phasma said, her voice low.
The trooper nodded.
"Yeah, he'll understand more about the droids and their programming. We know how to take them down individually, but we can't fight 47 droids without our weapons, not to mention whoever runs the control room."
"And there could still be people."
"True."
"What's your name?" Siv asked, feeling bold. "Not the number Brendel called you, but your real name. It feels wrong that you know our names, but we don't know yours."
He gave a wry grin.
"We don't have names. The First Order only gives us numbers. I'm PT-2445, and this is LE-2003.
He nodded to the woman.
"And HF-0518.
He nodded to the man.
"Your names are hard to say," Gosta said. "Can I call you Petey?"
For a moment, PT-2445 looked kind and amused.
"That's more of a child's name, but I suppose you can think of me as Pete when the General isn't around."
"And that would make me Ellie,"
the female trooper said. And you're... Huff. The third trooper, now Huff, scowled.
That's not even a name. Ah, but we don't have names, do we?
Pete said, and the troopers shared a private chuckle.
Enough about your names. I want to leave. These clothes are useless,
Torben said. His uniform was too small for him and could barely stretch over his shoulders.
Can't fight in them? They can't stop a blade? No wonder they have trouble keeping people here.
Siv laughed, grateful for a moment of mercy in the strange place. But Phasma was having none of their jocularity.
Then we all agree, she said sharply. We do as the droids ask until Brendel is with us, and then...
And then?
Gosta asked.
And then we turn the tables.
Time passed in a blur for several days, or at least what Siv assumed was days. They couldn't see the sky and had no concept of time. Sleep, then food, then work, then food, then work, then sleep. It was monotonous being an employee of the Konstar Mining Corporation. The droids she encountered when walking down the halls or delivering her cart full of ore were cheerful and helpful, but she never saw another person, and she didn't entirely trust the droids or feel safe around them. She longed for life outside, even if it was harsh. At least it was honest. 2 sleep cycles later, Brendel Hux appeared at breakfast. His skin was paler than usual, blotchy with purple bags under his eyes, and his uniform, although clean and pressed, fit a little looser. As soon as he saw them, he hurried over with TB3 shuffling anxiously in his wake.
What the devil are you wearing?
He barked, staring at them each in turn.
Our uniforms, sir,
one of the troopers said, his eyes cutting to the hovering droid.
We've been indentured to the Konstar Mining Corporation to pay your medical debts.
Brendel turned a peculiar shade of red and began to splutter, but Phasma waved a hand.
It's only 60 days each, she said with a smirk. I feel certain our time here will be worthwhile, but we must remain calm. We angered one of the droids recently and were punished harshly.
Good behavior is expected of Konstar employees. Praise to the creators,
TB3 agreed.
You should get a tray and join us, Phasma said. Our work shifts are long, and you'll be hungry.
Work shift? I nearly died. I barely survived in the medbay under those butchers. I can't work,
Brendel stormed.
General,
one of the troopers began. Phasma interrupted him.
If there's one thing we've learned here, it's that insubordination is punished, so we're happy to help you acclimate. I feel certain our time will pass swiftly under our watchful hosts.
The smile she aimed at TB3 was cold enough to freeze water, but the droid didn't notice.
You are a model employee, Phasma.
Brendel's mouth twitched as he considered the situation, but in the end, he fetched his tray like everyone else. Once he was settled, TB3 left. They knew well enough by now to follow the blue line to the turbo lift for their shift when the bell rang. As Brendel approached the table with his breakfast, Phasma slid over to make room. He sat, contemplating the tray as if it were filled with slime.
This is madness, he said.
We know,
Phasma answered, leaning close to whisper.
But we can't escape without you. We can kill the droids one by one, but your troopers don't know how to shut down the system. There are too many of them, and they are always watching and listening.
She inclined her head to the cafeteria droid frozen in place by the trays.
We need to find the control room.
Brendel tried the food and nearly spit it out.
And quickly.
Tonight. They're least attentive at night. I've made several forays and encountered no droids.
Siv was shocked to learn that Phasma had ventured out of the room at night without her, without any of the Skyr warriors. She gave Torben an inquisitive look, and he shrugged. Poor Gosta looked just as surprised as she was. They had always known Phasma's plans before.
Good,
Brendel said, and he continued eating with the arm that had nearly killed him. An arm that was still whole.
How is your wound?
Siv asked, because she had never seen someone recover from the fever before. Brendel rolled up his sleeve to show her. The skin wolf's gash was a neat pink line, and his arm was a normal color. All signs of infection were gone. No redness, no streaks, no foul pus.
Siv nodded her approval, but inside she was filled to the brim with a new sense of hope.
The medicines here truly were miracles. If Brendel's First Order had such curatives available, it was imperative that they claim his ship and get off the planet, no matter the cost.
Their two work shifts took forever, and then they were finally back in the barracks for the night. Phasma and Brendel held a whispered discussion, and soon they were ready to move. Instead of following the red, yellow, green, or blue lines, they hurried to the showers, where they traded their Constar nightclothes for their regular clothes and weapons, and slathered on their Oracle salve in preparation for their escape. Brendel was the only one who didn't need to change, and he spent his time identifying cams that might be watching them.
"They're recording," he mused, "and yet no one has come to stop us."
"An issue I discovered days ago, while you were still in the medbay. Instead of pondering that, let's take advantage of it,"
Phasma snapped, pulling down her mask. Siv felt better the moment she was back in her leathers, and she grinned at Torben, grateful to see him looking like himself again, and happy to feel the weight of her scythes on her hips. She caught Phasma studying the troopers as they put on their armor and checked their guns. She'd known Phasma since they'd been children, and yet she was seeing a new side of her leader. Phasma had always been dedicated to power, but now she was hungry for more than just stability in the Skyre. She coveted the armor, the blasters, the tech. Siv began to wonder if perhaps Phasma wanted it too much. Back in the hall, they followed Brendel as he read the plaque beside each door. Siv had her scythes out, ready to face down any of the droids that might challenge them. Oddly, none appeared. Not even the little mouse droids that always seemed to show up when the slightest bit of dirt marred the gleaming floor. Finally, Brendel found what he was looking for. He tapped the plaque and said,
"Control room. This is it. My soldiers will go first, since blasters will do more damage to metal, and we've only seen droids thus far. Should there be any sentient beings within, feel free to subdue them."
Phasma nodded, and Brendel pressed something on the wall. The door slid open, and the troopers fanned inside, blasters up. But they didn't shoot. Seconds had passed before a trooper called,
"All clear, sir,"
and Brendel led the rest of them inside. Without being asked, Torben remained outside as a guard. In the Skyre, one never went into a tight space without a friend to stand watch. It was all too easy to get trapped. The room inside was like all the other rooms, white and pristine. There was no one within to threaten. The troopers had their blasters up, and Siv realized that with their armor on, there was no way to tell them apart. They were no longer Pete, Ellie, and Huff. They were just faceless soldiers. Brendel went directly to a bank of machines that beeped, blinked, and flashed strange symbols. Screens all around the room showed various images of the station, including all the rooms Siv had seen, and many more. One room, to her horror, was filled with human bodies piled haphazardly. At least they weren't fresh from what she could see. In another room, she was surprised to see all the droids standing in neat rows, holding perfectly still with TB-3 facing them at the front. But her attention was drawn back to Brendel. His fingers flew over a keyboard, and Phasma stood nearby, watching his every move.
"Come on,"
Brendel grumbled at it, poking buttons and twisting dials. He must have done something important, as all the lights clicked off, leaving them in complete darkness. The gentle hum of machines always in the background wound down to silence. The air, which was a constant and regular cool, went still and stale, and carried the unmistakable tang of death.
"Just give it a moment,"
Brendel said, and he was right. A red glow softly filled the room.
What's happening? Phasma asked.
I've turned off the main power and shut down the droids. I'll give it a few moments before rebooting.